Davis steps under center. Gibson and McClendon behind him. Davis with motion by Richard. Will give the ball to McClendon. He leaps. Oh, he doesn't get in. He fumbled the football. Carolina holds. The game is over. And Carolina has won the game.
Finley to throw. Over the middle, intercepted. Wolfolk again. Wolfolk the other way. At the 30, the 40. Wolfolk to midfield. Miles Wolfolk with the pick. The heels on the doorstep of an enormous victory.
Left side of the line. Hood standing to Williams' right. Williams going to throw. One-on-one. Davis has it. Touchdown. Carolina wins. Carolina is the Coastal Division champion. Bernard fields it at the 26. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is, Gio. He's going to take it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Connor Barth for the possible win. Snap, spot, kick away, high enough, long enough. It's good! It's good! Carolina has won the game on a 42-yard field goal by freshman Connor Barth. Good gosh, dirty!
This is the Heel Tough Blog Podcast.
What's going on, guys? It's the Heel Tough Blog Podcast here. Coming at you on a Wednesday night, and that's right. For the first time in a while, it is a two-man show because we are approaching the Tar Heel spring game this Saturday. That'll be what will close out spring practice a little bit later than it's been in years past. We'll also tell you a little bit about why the game is not going to be televised. Mack Brown spoke with the media today. He explained that decision, so we'll dive into that as well. And plenty of other stuff around the spring game, including what we are going to be watching for on Saturday. But also, got to talk about the transfer portal. A ton of news coming out on that side of things. But real quick, how's the offseason been? I know we've been crazy talking about all the stuff on the Carolina basketball side of things. But where's your excitement level at least for Saturday to get a look at where this team is at?
As he does every time he talks publicly, Mack Brown gets you excited. Watched the practice last week, and I came away saying we're going to go 8-4 because the way the guys there were talking about us and the way that he was talking about us. So, you know, I think what makes this season different is you just enter with different expectations from the past couple of years because you don't have – that transcendent quarterback, you know, that we know of. Who knows, Connor Harrell or Max Johnson might turn out to be one of the better quarterbacks we've had in Carolina history. But I think the unknown is the intrigue around this season. And if you look back historically at Mack Brown's career, when there's been a lot of unknown, he's put together some of his better coaching jobs. And so I think on the surface, as disappointing as the last two seasons have been with the way that the team has finished, I look at this year with just a chance for a new group to kind of right some of the wrongs. And they seem as confident as ever that they're ready to play big time football in November. They put themselves in position. They've been able to close out the job. They feel like they're ready as a program to play and compete at a high level. And I think we're all excited to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, and look, we're not going to really be able to figure that out when we're there on Saturday, but I think there are some things that you know, we definitely will be able to look at and see if it's different from these past couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, the mindset that he has, I think, is really positive. I think the most important thing is that there's no pressure on this team. The last few years, there's been pressure. I know, you know, Drake May in his first year winning the job, people would say, how much pressure really was there because there was an unknown. The way he started that year, the pressure built pretty quickly. And the problem was they were able to get to 9-1, but once they suffered that first loss, that's where the pressure really started to take over. And then this past year, I mean, there was pressure from the beginning on Carolina. And once again, great start, but when the first thing went wrong, all of a sudden Carolina fell apart. Now this staff has to figure out how to avoid doing that, and probably how to avoid doing that with less overall talent. Now the thing is that this could end up being a better team because they may have better overall depth, but still, I think there's a lot of unknowns about this team, and it might actually make for a better overall experience for Tar Heel fans, because I think a lot of people are probably going to go in saying, we don't really expect much. Let's see what happens. Although I am starting to see already some people that are straying towards, you said 8 wins. I've seen people that think 9, possibly 10, depending on the schedule. And it's like, guys, can we please just relax ourselves a little bit? But look, we'll talk about the team on the field here in a little bit. We got to talk about the transfer portal first, though, because the second window, the spring window, opened yesterday, and Carolina loses 4 guys to the transfer portal. It started actually the day before on Monday. Legend Cavazos, it gets announced by On3 Sports, is entering the transfer portal. This is probably the most significant of the 4 losses in terms of just how much he played at Carolina. As well as, you know, potential to play this season. Played in 12 games in his 2 years at Carolina. 11 came in 2022, including starting the final 3 games of the season. He missed all but 1 game this past season with injuries. Started the season injured, came back, played a little bit in the game against Syracuse, and then didn't see him again the rest of the year with an undisclosed injury. And, you know, look, he was a guy that came into this spring with an opportunity. That opportunity was even more present after Marcus Allen goes down with an injury. And, you know, he wasn't able to take advantage of it. From everything that we've heard from Mac Brown, that was a name that we didn't hear come up, which means that he was a guy that was probably passed over on the depth chart. We've heard about Ty Adams. We've heard about Zion Ferguson, the true freshman. We've heard about Tyrone Stewart, the JUCO. We have not heard anything about Legend Cavazos this entire time. And so I think that was probably some sort of a hint to us that he wasn't going to play a really significant role there. But, you know, he enters the transfer portal. This will be his second time there, and he'll be leaving the program. Speaking of defensive backs, really cornerbacks, Aiden Dunkinson, that looked like the spot that he had settled into last year when we saw him, played in 2 games as a true freshman. His action came against Campbell, saw 6 snaps on the defensive side of the ball late in the game, and then did come in for a brief time, 1 snap against Clemson. And I forget the reason why. I do remember that he was in the game. He actually made a play as well when he was in the game for Carolina in Death Valley. But he's a guy that enters the portal. Another one that had the opportunity with Marcus Allen out and didn't hear from him at all. We heard about all those other guys. He was a guy that was not being brought up. And so this makes a lot of sense. Another guy that did not play at all during his true freshman season. This was a guy that we knew was going to be in the transfer portal. DJ Geth. We heard from Mac Brown before spring started, said that he was going to be entering the portal, had let the staff already know that. Battled last year for the backup center job, got, you know, some decent reps in the spring game a year ago, but ultimately ended up getting beat out for that job by Chance Carroll. You would have thought might have had a chance to win that job again this year, but doesn't even go through that process, ends up bowing out before spring practice and entering the portal. And then the one that probably everybody's going to be talking about here is Tad Hudson, former 4-star quarterback recruit, exits after his true freshman season, did not play this past year, and was in a battle for the number 3 quarterback spot with Michael Mertinger here in the spring and got beat out. We heard Mac Brown talk about this when he met with the media last week on Tuesday. He was talking and they asked, I think it was Art Shansky actually who asked, with the transfer portal, in case one of the 2 guys that's in the quarterback battle decided if they felt like they were further behind than was being led on by the coaching staff, if one of them was to enter the portal, who would be the guy that would then be the backup quarterback? And Max said it would be Michael Mertinger. That pretty much told you everything that you needed to know right there. Mertinger, a guy that ranked outside of the top 1,000 prospects in his class this past year. To come in to beat out Tad Hudson that quickly, it makes a lot of sense why Hudson goes into the portal. But I think there were a lot of Tar Heel fans that were looking at him and thinking, could this eventually be Carolina's guy of the future? So you hear those four names, and what do you think about that group that's exiting? I don't think there's anybody really that significant that leaves, but I do think that there are, you know, a couple of noteworthy guys there in Cavazos, who has some experience, and Hudson, who I think a lot of people look at the four-star rating and might be a little concerned that he's heading out.
Yeah, nothing here surprising, nothing here shocking. I think Cavazos, the thing that stands out is that the experience there, and, you know, you're going to hear Mac Brown talk a lot about depth, and they need to build more depth, and they need to have it on their roster, and you're losing a depth piece and a guy that you had some sort of confidence in that back end just because of how much he had played. When it comes to Tad Hudson, I think on the surface, while you're seeing the reaction is, A, four-star prospect.
Yep.
And then B, this is a kid from the Charlotte area that probably grew up wanting to play football at North Carolina. And you're seeing that guy transfer. And I think as fans, we're still adjusting to seeing guys that during their recruitment, you know, profess their love for the university that they commit to, and then in less than 2 years, they're going somewhere else. That's just the reality of the sport. And when you're getting beaten out by someone who was outside the top of 1,000 prospects from the previous recruiting class, probably not a good sign that you're going to be the quarterback of the future for this program going into 2026 or beyond. So, not surprising. You know, we knew this was a possibility because you have that second transfer portal window with the spring. And while the portal giveth, it also takes away. And so Carolina has lost some dudes, but they also are now in a position to go add to the roster and fill some needs that Mac Brown has talked about publicly to get this team in the best position possible for 2024.
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing with Hudson, like, it makes a lot of sense why he enters anyways. He got beat out by a dude that's younger than him. And you got a four-star prospect in this next class in Bryce Baker that's coming in. He just won the Rivals Camp Series quarterback MVP for the regional here in Charlotte. And apparently it wasn't even close from the people that were in attendance. He was that good. So I think he looked around and he said, look, this is not a situation that's probably going to work out best for me. I told you when I watched him in high school, you know, I had some concerns about him. I feel like he's a guy, like we talked about it the other day when the news came up and you brought up Charlotte. I think that'd be a great fit for him. I think he could go there with the right coaching. I think he could be a really, really good group of five player. And the thing is that we've seen it now. It happens all the time. If he goes down to the group of five level, he performs well down there. He's a guy that can always come back up. And, I mean, hell, if Carolina really needs a quarterback that badly, he can resurface at Carolina. They could always re-recruit him. So that's the thing. I don't think this is necessarily the worst thing for him or for Carolina. I still think they're in good shape. And then in terms of the depth you talked about, yeah, I mean, Cavazos is a little bit of a blow just because he is an experienced guy. A lot of the other guys on your roster wouldn't be experienced. But the thing that Carolina has done a really good job of in terms of the guys that they brought in that defensive back group from the high school ranks the last few years is they brought in so many guys that have played both positions in high school. Like, even if they identify as safeties at this point, you know, in their college careers, they're guys that have played there before. So they can move into the corner role and probably succeed out there. So I don't think Carolina is really going to have trouble finding depth out there. That's also a spot that I know Mac Brown didn't bring it up, but that's also a spot that I wouldn't be shocked because they lost two guys there. If Carolina sees someone that they like in the portal that they think could be at least a rotational guy, they could go out and get him. Well, that wasn't one of the positions that Mac Brown brought up, but he did list out three different positions that Carolina is looking for in the portal, as well as a fourth that there are some specific parameters around. The first one that he listed out when he was going through is the one that he talked about in the offseason, the dead time, whatever you want to call it. When they were talking about the Heels for Life and they had that fundraiser that they did in the offseason, one of the positions that he talked about was we have to go out and find someone along the defensive line. And, you know, there is, you know, some of the things that he said, he is rather encouraged by what he has seen from certain defensive linemen, but they are lacking the depth at that position. That's the first position that he lists. And look, it's interior defensive line. It feels like they feel pretty good about the amount of guys that they have at the rush end position, which is formerly the jack position. They've now changed that over to rush end in the new defensive scheme under Jeff Collins. So they probably feel pretty good there. Power end, I think they like what they got in Dez Evans and Bo Atkinson and then some of the younger guys. But the interior of the defensive line is really where it looks like Carolina is looking at. But then he mentions two other spots. He says that Carolina is going to look for a quarterback, which is really interesting, and also a running back. So you hear him list those two positions off. I don't think defensive line should shock anybody, and I think, honestly, they need to be very aggressive there. But when it comes to quarterback and running back, did that shock you a little bit?
I guess just because you feel pretty, especially the running back room, like you got your horse, and you've got guys in that room that I think are poised to contribute if need be. I think the quarterback room is just maybe just to create that competition, and you know I think. You know, every offseason, it feels like, you know, every program has a buzzword. And depth is the one that he is going to say so many times that we're going to lose count. And so I think he just wants to have as much depth as possible in every position to create as much competition as possible at each position, which is ultimately how you develop a quality program. So I guess, you know, on the surface, it's surprising, but, you know, I guess he doesn't want to run into a situation where, you know, let's just say, God forbid, something happens to Max Johnson and something happens to Connor Harrell, then what are you doing? Like, injuries are a part of it. So, but the obvious one is defensive line, because you can never have too many defensive linemen. And, you know, the telltale of what this defense does, and if it takes that step that we wanted to take and that we needed to take under Jeff Collins, it's going to start up front. And if you can find a way to upgrade the talent and upgrade the depth, it goes a long way to that side of the ball, taking that step forward. This team needs it to take for it to be competitive.
Well, and there are a ton of great options. I told you this the other day. When it comes to the transfer portal, and the guys that are entering, I mean, there is no position where you have seen more talent enter than the defensive line. I mean, every day there is somebody else that is entering that has at least double-digit tackles for loss in their career and somewhere between 5.5 or more sacks, somewhere in that area. I mean, you're talking about guys that have produced at their previous schools, and there's some in there that, I mean, if you paired them alongside a guy like Travis Shaw, if he breaks out, or Jabari Ritzy, if he breaks out, you could have a legitimate interior defensive line tandem for the first time since 2019. So I think Carolina, yeah, you got to be aggressive, and you got to be trying to go after some of the big fish here. Now, I get it. You know, NIL-wise, they have to be in your range. But, yeah, I want to see Carolina be aggressive. I'll say this, running back, that one doesn't really shock me because his explanation makes a lot of sense there. Caleb Hood cannot stay healthy. Like, he's not going to play on Saturday again because he's hurt again. At this point, like, you can't worry about recruiting over him and bringing somebody in either out of the high school ranks or in the transfer portal just because – like, I think that he has a chance to be a really good player if he could ever stay on the field. But at this point, it's just not going to happen. Like, he just doesn't seem to have that injury luck. And then You know, Jordan Louis is banged up. I do wonder if that is more serious than Mac Brown is sort of letting on, because, you know, the fact that he is out for the spring and then he says that they're looking for someone in the portal, and the reason why is because they feel like they need more depth, I think that might be telling. The other thing that I think he may be doing is trying to at least create a little bit of competition for Darwin Barlow, who they brought in, it seems like they like, but I don't know if he feels like he's a guy that is going to be able to carry the load if there was something that happens to Omarion Hampton. So depth-wise, I think that's the reason they're looking for someone there, because Davian Gauss is a true freshman. They like what they've seen from him for a true freshman, but I don't know if that's a guy they feel like they're going to rely on if something was to happen to Omarion Hampton, and then they have to start dividing up reps. Quarterback, my first thought, and I know that he said this isn't the reason why. He said that they just want to have four guys in that room. I got to be honest, why would you have four guys in that room? Honestly, who in the transfer portal is looking at that situation if you're saying that they're a depth guy and willing to sign on for that? Like, unless it's somebody that is that was way down another depth chart that you're bringing in, that maybe he said, you know, Chip Lindsey might know. I don't know. If there's somebody in there from Central Florida that he knows, maybe that's what they're looking for. But to me, that's head scratching. And it makes me wonder if what they're looking for in the portal is a quarterback that they feel like might be better than the two that they have right now. I think that, you know, right now, Mac Brown said today that he feels like both of the guys can win games for them. But is there a name that maybe we don't know, that maybe hasn't entered yet? Are there rumors out there about a quarterback that could enter that Carolina, that would immediately be better than the guys that Carolina has? And that's the only, because to me, there is no reason to bring in another quarterback. I know he's a preferred walk-on, but you do have Noel Mazzoni. That's his dad. I forget. Hold on. Let me look it, up his name real quick. But I know you've got his son as a walk-on in the room. DJ. You got his son, him in there as a walk-on. So you got four quarterbacks on the roster. If it really gets that far down, I honestly don't really think there's anything you can do. It's that at that point, it's just bad breaks all the way around. You're down to your four-string quarterback. It is what it is. So we'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if that's one that's floated out there and Carolina doesn't get. Now, another spot that Mac Brown did say that he's potentially looking for someone is punter. Now, this one, stipulations, he says that they're looking for a walk-on. They're not going to be willing to waste a scholarship on a guy there. That kind of sucks, because there's a guy that is a local guy from around here that punted last year for Notre Dame, had a lot of success, Bryce McPherson, that I think would be a great fit for Carolina. Doesn't seem like they're going to go after him. The thing is that Carolina has to find somebody else here. They have one guy right now on the roster that's a punter, and that's Tom McGinnis. And there have been rumors that I've heard that he has not looked good in spring practice so far. That's the reason why they are having tryouts on campus. Basically, anybody that can kick, come out, see if you could possibly work, as a walk-on for the team here. So, I mean, Carolina, it feels like, is looking for help at that spot immediately, and hopefully they can find someone there that can come in and maybe compete with Tom McGinnis if he really is struggling the way that some of the rumors are saying. Last bit of news on the transfer portal side of things. Speaking of running backs, Carolina has already hosted one, Mississippi State transfer running back Simeon Price, a guy that really didn't do a whole lot in his time there, saw his production drop even more this past year after playing a decent amount of snaps in his first season with the team, had 46 total touches in year one. This past year, that dwindled down to just 12 the entire season. And then, of course, he went over and handled the kick return duties a couple of years ago. Last year, had those stripped from him as well at Mississippi State. So a guy that, you know, I think for Carolina, they might be looking at, you know, maybe adds a little bit special teams wise, a little more depth at running back. But that is a name to keep an eye on here as we move along in the coming weeks. All right, guys. Well, we've talked about the transfer portal, but now it's time to get to the spring game, the stuff that really matters on the field on Saturday. We'll tell you the things that you should be keeping an eye on and what we think about some of these battles. But first, we got to get you this ad from one of our partners, the Autograph.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEELTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
All right, guys, welcome back into the Heel Tough Blog Podcast. Told you earlier, we're getting you ready for the spring game, and now it's time to officially dive into it. And we got to start by talking about the fact that this is a game that will not be televised and why Mac Brown says that this was a Tar Heel choice. He spoke with the media earlier today. This was one of the big questions that reporters wanted to know. And he said that, look, this was their decision. This was the staff's decision. They wanted the all-access practice more than they wanted this to be, or the spring game to be televised or streamed. And he listed that he said that the reasons why are, one, Carolina's putting in a new defensive scheme. He wants this to be an opportunity because it is going to be, you know, a game like environment. He wants this to be a chance for the defense to work through it like a regular game and use some of the stuff that Carolina is going to use throughout the year. Doesn't want that to be put out to the public and mostly to opponents, especially teams like Minnesota, who Carolina will face to begin the season. Doesn't want them getting any film on them. And then also the quarterback battle ongoing, doesn't want people to really get a look at that except for Tar Heel fans. That explanation is rather odd, to be honest, because, I mean, look, this is far from the first time that there have been coaching changes for teams in the offseason. It's also not the first time that there's been a new defense being installed on a team and a quarterback battle that's ongoing. The good thing is look, man, this is the way Mac Brown wants to do it. He's able to apparently control this. And because of this, this means that this game, this will be much more like a game than it has been in years past. He said that earlier today. So the last 2 years, we've seen it. Carolina's done basically, you know, a version of a practice for the first 45 minutes to an hour. And then they finally get into the spring game. And last year, it wasn't even full contact. This year, not that at all. Full contact, it will be pretty much like a game from the beginning is basically what I took away from what he said. And so ultimately, I think there's two questions here. One, what do you make of the fact that the game isn't going to be televised and his explanation around it? And two, how do you feel about the fact that this is going to be a more traditional spring game? Does that get you a little bit more excited for it than you've been in the last 2 years?
Well, the fact that it's not being televised or streamed gives me an excuse to go to Chapel Hill on a beautiful Saturday. Not that I need excuses. If I want to go there, I can. But now I have a reason to go and eat good food and probably spend too much money on gear that I don't necessarily need. In terms of it being more like a game, like, yeah, because I think, you know, and look, it's harder to do this when you're not televising it. Dude, spring games now are an event. Like, and they play such a massive role in getting your fan base ready to go for the next year. And you know, or something for recruiting or NIL. Like, it's something. But it's, you know, like, look at what Ole Miss did this weekend. Like, it was a mockery where, like, they had a hot dog eating contest, a slam dunk contest. People aren't showing up to watch that. People will show up to watch football. We know that about Americans, and it doesn't matter, you know, what time of the year it is, what the weather is, they'll show up. And so hopefully this is a return to normal, a back to what spring games used to be. And whether they're going to be on TV or not, you know, in the future, who knows? But this gives reason. This gives fans a reason to make the 2.5-hour drive up there, because they're going to get to see some stuff that you don't typically see in recent years. And then the fact they're doing full contact, like, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I know that injuries have been a problem for this program, but it's also a big reason why this team hasn't been very physical, is because teams that are physical, guess when they're physical? They're physical in the spring, they're physical in the fall, and then that translates onto the field on Saturdays. And so, I mean, excited is maybe too strong of a word for the spring game because of how dummy down they've gotten in the last 10 years. But, you know, this is something that I'm willing to invest my time in, and I that wouldn't be the case if they would have done what they've done the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I mean, look, he said today that it'll be so they'll start out 15 to 20 thud plays, which will probably be where you'll see certain guys that are in yellow jerseys. I know, like, there are some members of the secondary that have been banged up, like Will Hardy, for example, is one of those guys. I believe Jakeen Harris, the transfer from NC State, he may still be in a yellow jersey. So for those guys, especially guys that are going to play significant roles, that's why you have those 15 to 20 thud plays where it's not full contact, and it kind of allows you to get some of those guys in there. And then they'll eventually take those guys out, and then it's 40 to 60 full contact plays. And he said this earlier, this was a direct quote from him. He said, quote, "We'll turn them loose and let them go." He basically said, you know, right after he makes that comment, he said, look, they have to, this is where we have to be able to figure out who can play and who can't. And so I think this is going to be more traditional. That's the thing why what has me a little more excited is because it's not on television. I think you've got a legitimate chance that they will pull out some things that we'll see in season. I think you'll see some things, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You'll see some of the aggressive things that Jeff Collins is going to want to do. On the offensive side of the ball, I think you'll see some things thrown the quarterback's way that you'll actually see Chip Lindsey throw at whoever is going to be the starter this coming season, where I feel like if it was on television, it would be very vanilla, just trying to figure out if guys can make plays. And look, there'll be certain elements of that, especially at certain positions. But I think you will see certain areas that Carolina normally wouldn't be able to show things. They will be able to do that on Saturday, and that'll be exciting. Speaking of the quarterbacks, I think that's one of the big things that we're really watching going into this one. And to me, you know, Mac Brown stressed in his presser today that it's a legitimate quarterback battle. And I don't know if he read the last article that I wrote, because I put that in there that I did not believe that it really was that much of a quarterback battle right now. Of course he didn't, by the way, but I don't know if there's others that have been questioning it. The way that he talked about Max Johnson last Tuesday, I find it hard to believe that he doesn't have an edge in this battle. And so I want to see if that is actually the truth, because if it is, then I do wonder if, depending on how far behind him he is, or he feels like he is at least, if Connor Harrell doesn't potentially think about the transfer portal. It also, you know, will give you an insight. I mean, if Max Johnson is that far ahead and it feels like he's really establishing himself, then you'll know that this is going to be the guy that Carolina is probably going to roll with. When we went to the spring games a few, you know, during or even watched them on television, I don't know if we went to, I think we went to the one where Drake was in the battle, but maybe not the one that Sam was. With Sam, it was very clear. He was Carolina's guy. With Drake, I think it was a little less clear because I think Jacoby Criswell played well. But, he didn't really play that well. That's right. That's right. And Drake played pretty good. So even that one, you kind of knew. I'll be interested to see if this is one where someone sort of separates themselves and if it's apparent what I think is happening right now, it actually shows up on the field in Max Johnson being ahead of Connor Harrell.
Yeah, I came out of the practice thinking that Max Johnson's going to be our quarterback. When the message is being relayed to, you know, Wes Durham, Roddy Jones, and David Hale, that his athleticism is – he does some things the same way that Drake May did.
Yep.
And that same sentiment wasn't echoed when Connor Harrell was being talked about. I think that's going to be Carolina's guy, and makes a lot of sense. He's got a track record of playing in the SEC. He's got a track record of playing well, and he's thrown for over 3,500 yards in the Southeastern Conference. He has the ability to protect the football. He's experienced. Like, there's a lot of things to like about him, and he might be a more natural fit for Chip Lindsey's offense and what Chip Lindsey's offense wants to be without Drake May. And so it's still going to be interesting because, you know, I think Connor Harrell is a guy that, the staff was a bit high on. They expressed a lot of belief in him, you know, going into the bowl game last year. I thought he showed signs of the bowl game of a guy that you could see being your signal caller in 2024. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I would prefer to have a clearer answer going into the fall than we've gotten in the years past. Might be a reason why he hinted at the quarterback depth in the transfer portal, because maybe he feels like they'll be close to maybe making a decision one way or another on after Saturday. We believe that decision would be that Max Johnson is the starter, which, as you mentioned, probably means Connor Harrell goes portaling. So it's still going to be interesting to see because, whoever steps into that role, you're replacing the best quarterback in Carolina football history. That's no easy task, and we're going to find out on Saturday who the guy is taking one step closer to be Carolina's quarterback in 2024.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you right now, because this is how they've done it in the past, and he actually admitted this when talking to the media. I think it was last Tuesday's presser, or maybe it was the one prior to spring practice. They knew that Sam Howell was the guy. They knew that Drake May was the guy. They just did not let it be known because they wanted there to be competition further into camp. They wanted to push these guys and basically keep the hunger there for both of these guys. So if Connor Harrell stays on the roster, even if Max Johnson is the guy that they're leaning towards, you will not know it. It will not be publicly stated. It'll be something that might be known behind closed doors. A lot of the stuff, what they do is they ask the players after they come back from the summer, hey, who really stood out in the player-led practices? And the players will tell them, hey, so-and-so looked really good. The other one, might be behind him, whatever. That's what happened with Sam. That's what happened with Drake. And I would expect it'll be the same thing this year. I do think that when you couple what you heard about it, because I noticed the same thing that you did, was he talked about the athleticism of Max Johnson, stressed that it really will surprise some people. And the thing is that what is the thing that we talked about with Connor Harrell when we were looking at him prior to the bowl game last year and then coming out of the bowl game, was how athletic he was. The fact that he was going to bring a different element to this Tar Heel offense with his running ability. Now, I don't think that Max Johnson is going to run like he does, but I do think that the fact that they're stressing he has mobility and that he's comparing it to Drake and Sam, that's who he compared it to when he mentioned him last week, probably signifies that they are feeling really good about him. And then he also, you said that he brought it up again on Saturday, the SEC stuff. He has brought that up every single time that he's talked about Max Johnson, how important that is, playing in that conference. So I feel like they are really valuing that. And I'm going to tell you, man, unless Connor Harrell, I think, comes out and puts up a really strong performance, I will go into the summer thinking that Max Johnson holds the advantage. And that'll be interesting to see, because you'll have that time after the spring game. I mean, after the game, you'll still have 10 days with that transfer window being open. So I think, you know, if it's pretty obvious that Max Johnson is the better quarterback, certainly it'll be something worth monitoring. You move on. I think one of the other position groups that we're really going to be watching is the defensive line. That interior of the defensive line definitely is a spot that we'll be intrigued by. But I think the guy that everybody is really going to be focused on Saturday is Travis Shaw. And how could you not? Because Mack Brown, in his last two press conferences and when he talked in the all-access practice to the ACC Network guys, talked extensively about the growth that we've seen from Travis Shaw. Starts with the mindset. Mack Brown says he sees a guy that's just hungrier, a guy that, you know, in years past, when an injury would pop up, wouldn't be able to fight through it. Now he's fighting through it, and he's a guy that's stepping his game up. And he said, this was his quote the other day that I think really stuck out to me, that it's his time. And they feel like he is the guy that's taking the biggest leap on the defensive side of the ball. That's the guy that I'm going to be locked in on the most. Because I think that if he is the guy that can take off, there's a reason he was a five-star prospect coming out of high school. And people will say, well, so was Dez Evans. Dez Evans was a guy that was a five-star prospect and then eventually fell to being a high-end four-star prospect right at the end of his recruitment. Travis Shaw was a no-doubter. This was a dude that was ranked inside of the top 10 nationally in terms of overall prospects for most of his recruiting process. This dude was the real deal coming out of high school. And he suffered the shoulder injury his senior year. He wasn't able to play, put on a lot of weight, and came into Carolina overweight. They had to get his body right. And now it really feels like in his third spring with the team, we're finally starting to hear that he is progressing along. What do you make of the conversations that we've heard from Mack Brown about Travis Shaw? And I mean, the thing is like, where do you, I mean, I would assume you're probably a little reserved on getting excited about the prospects of him because of what we've seen with a guy like Dez Evans. Mute.
If he up to be complete game changer for Carolina up front, mm-hmm. and really becomes the game wrecker that you need, you know, on the interior of your defense. And, you know, they were saying, and they were showing him Chris Jones film and saying, you can do the same types of things in this defense that Chris Jones did. Hopefully that's not hyperbole, because I mean, we watch the NFL every Sunday. Chris Jones is as good a you know, an interior defensive lineman I've ever seen outside of Aaron Donald. But if he is that guy, it just, we can't even put into words what it'll do for Carolina defensively, because we haven't seen an interior defensive lineman. You know, you mentioned, you know, back to 2019 was the last time they had, it felt like a consistent pulse up front, but you're talking about a dude that, you know, would have dominated in Butch Jones or in Butch Davis's scheme back in the day, and would have just been a guy that would have been a big part of when Carolina was a defensive minded program. So, I mean, yeah, you got to be reserved because they've talked up Dez Evans like every offseason, and it's never really come into fruition.
Still happening again. We heard it again the other day. They said he's having a great spring. I'm like,
but like the thing about it is, like, dude, you just, like, you look at Travis Shaw and you saw him the other day. He looked at you like the body looks ready.
Yep.
And it feels like he's finally from a body perspective, ready to play and take on the burden of what, you know, he gets asked to do, you know, the majority of the time he's on the field. And so, I mean, I don't want to put so much pressure on him. I think he individually will tell us where this defense does in 2024. Like, if he's that dude and he's the guy that we expected him to be when he arrived as a five-star, I think you could see Carolina taking a massive step forward defensively. If this is just a flash in the pan and it's him beating up on, you know, below average or subpar offensive linemen, and we get out there and he's getting pushed around in week one and that carries over throughout the season, I think Carolina's defense is going to look more of the same. So there's got to be reserved optimism, but you can look at him from a body's perspective. And it now looks ready. The first couple of years, you were just looking at a five-star local talent and you were wanting him to produce more. That he wasn't ready from a physical standpoint. He looked every bit the physical specimen that we expected maybe when he arrived in Chapel Hill. And look, sometimes it takes dudes 2 to 3 years to get ready.
Especially down there.
And so, you know, and look, a lot of those guys that take 2 to 3 years to get ready, guess what? They're sitting on the bench and because they're playing behind other, you know, quality four-star, five-star talent. Hasn't been the case for Travis Shaw, but I think he's ready. And if he's the dude, man, you know, I think Carolina's defense will be as competitive on a week-in, week-out basis since Mack Brown returned to Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing, man. I think he looks the part now. And not to say that he didn't in the past, but I think now he looks a lot like what he looked like in high school. And that was the thing, man. That's why he was a five-star prospect. He was built to play at the college level straight out of high school. And I think that, you know, the unfortunate injury sort of changed everything for him. And the thing is that if you watched him towards the end of his true freshman year, you saw flashes. You saw moments where you were like, wow, this guy can really be something. I thought – he had a couple of plays that he made in the ACC championship game, but that bowl game, I thought he was fantastic in the limited reps that he got. Now the thing is that, yeah, if he's going to be Chris Jones, that's great. Chris Jones plays every snap for Kansas City. Like, this is a guy that the stamina has to be there. But you're right. If he can be the guy that we thought he would be coming out of high school or even close to that, you're talking about something that Carolina has not had. The thing, you go back to that 2019 group with Aaron Crawford and Jason Strobridge. Jason Strobridge was a guy that played defensive tackle, but the problem is that Jason Strobridge played defensive tackle and was probably built more like a defensive end. But he just had such a great work ethic and was very technical on the inside that it worked. And Aaron Crawford, you know, Aaron Crawford was never your traditional nose tackle. He was undersized to be that type of guy. It was the reason why Carolina's run defense still wasn't great. Travis Shaw, if he can be the type of two-gap problem that you see some nose tackles be, I mean, Carolina's run defense, I think, would completely shift. Because that's where teams have really hurt Carolina. Yeah, they've done a number of on them on the edge as well. And they need guys that can do a better job of sealing the edge. We've talked about that a lot here in recent years. But more so, especially when you go back to games last year against Georgia Tech, NC State, where were teams running? Right down your throat. Right down the middle of your defense. And that was with some of the best linebackers in the country, including a guy in Cedric Gray, who is now gone. So, and we like Amari Campbell. There is no guarantee Amari Campbell is Cedric Gray. So you're going to need more help from your defensive line. And yeah, Javari Ritzy, I think, can do some good things there. I know they love Kevin Hester and some of the things that he does. I think he's a solid lineman. But the thing is that both of those guys, they are not run stoppers, not by any stretch. And so that's why you need a guy like Travis Shaw to break out. You're right. If he breaks out, I mean, that just takes you to a whole nother level. I mean, to me, I think you'd need someone still to go along with Kamen Rucker in terms of a pass rusher. And if you got that, then you're really, really cooking with grease, because if you got that, I mean, you're talking about finally having legitimate defensive line for the first time since, you know, probably early in the Larry Fedora era, when he still had a lot of Butch's guys there. But I mean, I think there is a little bit of, you know, cautious optimism. One, because of what we've seen with Dez Evans in the past. The other thing is this offensive line, we have no idea really how good they are. Speaking of that offensive line, a couple of interesting things to watch there. You know, a lot of youth there, a lot of new faces there. You know, Willie Lampkin is the only returning starter along the offensive line. Austin Blosky is the guy that has taken over at center. Mac Brown, very complimentary of him, says that he reminds him a lot of Corey Gaynor, seeing some good leadership qualities. But I'll be interested to see what he looks like, because this is his first time there where he comes into a season knowing that he is going to be a starter. So I'll be interested to see him, but I'll be keeping an eye on some of the younger guys. A tackle, Howard Sampson, is a guy that transferred in from North Texas. I think a lot of people are interested to see just how he handles himself. Now, unfortunately, with Kamen Rucker out, he won't be able to go up against Carolina's top pass rusher, which is something he has been doing at times during camp. Of course, before Rucker had the surgery to fix the ligament in his hand, that was, you know, something that was testing him and getting him better. You know, so hopefully Carolina's group of edge rushers still will be able to provide a little bit of a test, and we'll get a good look at Sampson, who the staff has raved about. Randy Clements has liked what he's seen from him. Mac Brown, though, in each of the last two press conferences has mentioned him, really likes the length, but also likes the growth in terms of the on-field stuff that he's seen from him. Also, I'm interested to see Trevion Green. I know Mac Brown said that he's still a guy that's a little bit of a work in progress. I think when I've seen him in years past, there's been a lot to like there. There's just one issue. He hasn't been able to stay healthy and be out there. Mac Brown says his body's in better shape. That should allow him to stay healthier and be out there for him. I'm interested to get a look at him. But the most interesting thing to me is what's going on at left guard, because there's a battle there right now. And really, it's a three-horse battle. Jonathan Adorno, guy that's been there for a while, veteran, is there. But Malik McGowan has really pushed him here in the spring. And I said when I wrote the article after the game that Malik McGowan, to me, was the guy that was playing more than anybody else at that left guard spot with that first team. I saw him out there almost exclusively when they showed shots of the offensive line running through drills. Eventually, when they got into the 11-on-11, it was it was him at left guard with the starters along the offensive line. So I think he's got a real shot to win this job. But also, Zach Rice is making a push there as well. When it comes to the offensive line, I mean, this one, I think even more so than the defensive line, we're probably feeling pretty reserved on this group, because every time that we think that Carolina is making progress with their offensive line, it's a group that always seems to disappoint us. But I mean, I don't know. Mac Brown hasn't really seemed as excited in years past like he feels like he does right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got a nice mix of, you know, even though, you know, you mentioned that you don't got a bunch of returning starting talent, but you've got some depth that you've built up. Feel like you brought in the right transfers that can make that adjustment to the Power Five level. And I mean, I think the biggest thing for this group is just how are you going to be when you get late into the season? Because this has been a group, as much as any, that's gotten worn down the later the season has gotten. Like, as much as we talk about the defense not being what it needs to be in late October and November, well, you look at Carolina's offense, and it sputtered down the stretch the last 2 years. A big reason why was they were getting pushed around up front. And so can you do a much better job of creating depth among that group? And it helps if you can blow opponents out to where you're keeping your guys rested, but to where you can get some more rotation. And the fact that you got you know, you got three guys battling you right there at left guard, tells you to maybe they are a little bit more better suited to have that type of stuff because, you know, I don't think it's been a talent issue. I think the offensive line underachieving has been more of a coaching issue for the majority of it. And then just combined with the fact that these dudes by the middle of the year were just – they were just done. Part of it is the way that Carolina plays and they're no huddle. But also part of it is the fact that when you're not blowing people out and you're running 80 to 90 plays every week, that's gonna catch up with you over the long haul of the season. So, you know, I think, you know, you got a five-star right there in Zach Rice, kind of like Travis Shaw. Feels like he's finally ready from a physical standpoint to make an impact. And I think this is going to be a group that I think if this offense is what Chip Lindsey's offense historically have been, which they want to be run-heavy ball control, this could be one of the better offensive lines that you get to watch because if Carolina's going to run the ball, that means they're winning at the point of attack. And so there could be a group that is able to impose their will. So, you know, I like the big uglies. I've always been a fan of offensive line play. And it feels like Mac Brown publicly pretty confident in this group. And I think there's many different reasons why. But you could see this offensive line maybe being sneakily one of the better ones we've seen since Mac Brown came back to Carolina.
Yeah, and he's also really excited about the guy they're going to bring in the summer, Zach Greenberg, the transfer from the D3 level. Versatile and feels like he's a guy that, you know, has just been sitting at that D3 level and was ready to come up. And look, I know people will be concerned about that, but we've seen guys from that level have success, you know, in the trenches the last few years. So I wouldn't rule it out that he's a guy that can help Carolina there, but I think the biggest thing you talked about depth and that's the last thing we'll talk about here. And it's just across the roster as a whole is that you need to have more depth. Offensive line is a perfect example. They wore down as the season went along. Yeah. Part of it is that you want to be able to blow teams out. Part of it is that, you know, for Carolina, hey, if you had a defense that could legitimately hold people and not put the offense back out there 2-3 minutes after, you know, they just had the ball, it would probably help as well. But the biggest thing is you have to be able to rotate guys. And my thing is that I want to see out there on Saturday, I want to see this staff show us, one, that they have the depth, that the guys that they've talked about are playing well, that these guys look legitimate and don't look that far off from the starters. Because that's the thing is that, yeah, you want to have depth. You want to have other bodies that you can throw on the field. But at the same time, it can't be at the expense of your team's success. These can't be guys that are struggling that bad that it's costing you games. I also want to see, especially when the starters are on there, are they actually rotating guys in and out? Because I'll be real honest with you. I don't believe this staff is actually going to do that until I see it. Because they've told us the last 2 years that we need to get more depth. We need to be able to rotate more, especially last year. On the defensive side of the ball, they said, we want to rotate more because we don't want to get worn down. That didn't happen. Gene Chizik, once the season got later and later, you started seeing even less rotation. I mean, early in the year, there wasn't much. But especially on the defensive line, you know, the edge rushers. I mean, dude, Kamen Rucker played over 800 snaps. And that's great, man. I love Kamen Rucker. That dude, he's going to do whatever you need him to do. He works his tail off, and he's a hell of a player. He's incredibly impactful. But, I mean, me and you both talked about it at the end of the year. He wasn't the same player that he was early in the season because he was worn out. He was doing everything for Carolina. You have to actually have legitimate depth, and you got to actually play it. So I'll be interested to see if they have it and if they actually use it. And that starts on Saturday, even though it's a spring game.
Look, Mac Brown said it last week in the All Access. We said we wanted to do it the last couple of years. We haven't done it. We got to be better as coaches. That's him being a good coach and protecting his kids. If they trusted the talent, they would have rotated more. They didn't trust what they had behind it. And so what you hope is now you've got better talent that you trust and better talent that fits what you're trying to do and that you can be in a position to do this. Look, you're not going to be rotating dudes if you're, you know, you find yourself in a late game in November, a one possession ball game, and ACC championship games on the line. But it's those other games where you've got a two possession lead, and it might not seem like a lot, but giving those guys a possession off and 6 to 8 plays off, man, those plays add up over a period of time. And so I think they'll do it if they trust the talent and the talent has kind of earned the right to be out there. He's not as blunt as, you know, Huber Davis is, where Huber Davis talks about you got to do X, Y, and Z to get your playing time. You know, Mack Brown, a little bit more, I'm going to be pro player out in the media. But the fact of the matter is the guys behind the first 22 weren't good enough. And maybe that's because they weren't getting on the field to get the experience, get the reps. That could be part of it too. But you're right. It does start Saturday. Because there's really no excuse starting out to rotate players. It's a spring game. Doesn't matter. So there's no excuse for you to get other guys into the game and get them in certain situations. So I think as much as they've talked about it, if they get through the fall and they feel like they can rotate guys and not see a dip off or see a drop off in production, I do think Carolina will be better at it because you can't keep doing what you're doing because the last 2 years have proven it doesn't lead to success. So you know, it's wait and see, but that's a lot of things with this Carolina football program this year. A lot of it is just wait and see to see, can they back up the talk and can they make the adjustments that they said they've made to put them in a position to not wear down late in the season, because start of the season hasn't been the issue. It's from the back half of October on, and believe it or not, putting yourself in the best position for that stretch, it starts in the spring.
That's right. That's right. Two other spots I'll be watching. Also encourage you guys to watch because of the young guys, secondary, which Mack Brown has been very complimentary of, and the wide receiver group as well. So, yeah, plenty of great stuff to watch. The spring game presented by maybe the most polarizing grocery store I've ever seen out there, Wegmans. Now, they've been in the Chapel Hill area, but if you are here in the Charlotte area, you know that this has been, I mean, this has been social media for 3 days now. People just freaking out over a grocery store coming to this area. And again, it'll take place 3:00 on Saturday. They are going to basically turn it into a normal game day. There will be the kid zone, all that normal stuff will be out around the bell tower. Plenty of great activities that they're going to have out there. That'll start around 1:00. And then, yeah, 3:00, again, not televised, not streamed anywhere. You have to be in the stadium to watch it. So hopefully you guys, if you can make it out there, we'll be able to show up and support this Carolina football team on Saturday. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the podcast. Hey, guys, make sure you head over to the website, heeltopblog.com. I'll have a preview up there where I'll go a little more in-depth on some of the battles that I'm going to be watching on Saturday, the position groups that I'll be watching on Saturday, all that great stuff. We'll be up there for you. And, of course, I will have a recap of the spring game, as we always do. Also, potentially a stock report as well, depending on what all we see from certain guys. So make sure that you're keeping an eye out for all that stuff. Transfer portal news got you covered on that side for the football side of things. And then basketball, that's really the big thing that we're focusing on right now as well, the transfer portal, because Carolina is aggressive going after a big man. Currently, you know, in on Jonas Adu, Clifford Amori, just had Danny Wolf on campus. And there's plenty of other guys Carolina is also interested in as well. Any of the latest news on that side of things, we have you covered. And did want to also mention, someone pointed it out in the comments earlier, that Carolina did find out their opponent for the Jumpman Invitational next year. As you would expect, it is going to be a rotation, it looks like, moving forward. So it'll be Florida that Carolina will play next year in the Jumpman Invitational. Any news like that, as well as that transfer portal and any recruiting news, will all be on the website, heeltoughlog.com. So once again, that wraps it up for this edition. Want to thank everybody for watching and the ones that will eventually listen. And as always, well, want to thank Josh for hosting with me too. And as always, go Tar Heels.